This is a song that has ministered to me for many years. And as I always say, gospel music is not entertainment, but it's ministry. It ministers to our soul. First of all, giving reverence to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then to my pastor, Pastor James A. Brooks II, the angel of this house, in his absence, and then to all of you here at St. John this morning. I would like to call your attention to two different verses of scripture for our text this morning. The first one would be Genesis 1 and 1. And then the second one would be John, the Gospel of John. And that would be John 1 and 1. But before I start, let me first of all just begin with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would use me this morning, Lord. Take me out of self. Give me a word that would encourage, that would lift up this your people this morning. Lord, we pray that what I say would transform, comfort, and to help somebody today, Lord. I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Deacon Brooks, could you put the picture up that from the song God Is on the board for me, please? Thank you. Thank you. I was just looking at it as the song was going, and I was thinking, that's a good picture because I'm going to be talking about creation to begin with. Oh, you may be seated. I'm sorry. You may be seated. I'm going to start by reading a couple of verses from Book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, starting at 1. Verse 1 and 1 through 4. And it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." Amen. And then I'm going to read John 1 and 1. It said, to the fourth verse also, it says, John 1 and 1, "The beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Amen. In the beginning, God stepped out on nothing and created everything. God spoke it into existence. If God said it was so, and it was so. Scientists disagree with the Bible's account of creation. We have the theory of evolution that was Charles Darwin, who happened to be a preacher's son. Theory of evolution, there's all kind of theories about how man came from a Big Bang theory, how it all started from a primitive one-cell creature that evolved eventually to man. And there's a problem with all these theories. First of all, the problem with theory of evolution is just a theory, which means it's not a fact, it's an unproven theory that people say that might have happened. You know, I think that in order for us to start with the Bible, we need to start from the very beginning. And the beginning says that God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. The book of Genesis is the starting point of the fundamentals of the gospel. You know, when I was in school, when I was in mathematics, I was told that you've got to first get the fundamentals right before you could do larger equations. 1 and 1 is 2. 2 and 2 equals 4. 4 and 4 equals 8. If you don't have basic fundamentals, then you can't begin to solve large equations, because it's going to be wrong if the fundamentals are wrong. The gospel, according to John fundamentally uses the account in Genesis 1 and 1 to establish his gospel. John was one of the apostles, the longest living apostle of all the apostles. He died of an old age on the island of Patmos. And John wrote his gospel to combat all the heresies that was going on in the world. And that was both then and now. And what did he start? What did he start with? The fundamentals. He started with in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him there wasn't anything made that was made. Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Now, this account is a very strong fundamental argument for Jesus being the Son of God. And even though neither one of them does not mention Jesus by name or the Holy Spirit, they are both included in both accounts. First of all, Genesis 1 and 1, the word that was used in the Hebrew was Elohim. Elohim is plural. So you have the Father and the Son. And then it goes on in the second, in the next verse, and says that the Spirit of God moved about over the waters, that Spirit being the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, as some Bibles call him. And so you have all three, even though they're not named by name, but you have all three persons of the Trinity in the beginning. And John goes on to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made. And so the Word we know was Jesus Christ. Later in this text of John, he says, and the Word was made flesh. And so we know that John is referring to Jesus Christ when he says this. And so it also says that he was involved in creation, which means that he was not created. He was already there. God was always, God is, and he always was, and always will be. Genesis says that begins with God created the heavens and the earth, Elohim, and it talks about the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. It's all three persons of the Trinity in the Bible, including the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And John is using the creation of the world to confirm who Jesus Christ is. Romans 15:4 say, for whosoever things were written aforetime were written for the learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We are no longer under the law, but grace under Christ. But the Old Testament is still for our learning. John said in Genesis 1:1, to illustrate that Jesus was in the beginning, also with so much talk and debate, we need a strong foundation as to the fundamentals so that we can be fundamentally sound when we are interpreting the Bible. God is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt by a pillar of fire by night, and took them by the in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God led us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Just as he led the children of Israel by the hand out of Egypt, and so he has led us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and so it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw it was good. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He led them by the way of the Red Sea. With the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind, Moses turned to God, and God commanded him, Moses, stretch out your hand. And the Red Sea departed. And Moses stretched out his hand, and the Lord caused a sea to go back by the strong east wind of the night and made the sea dry land, and waters were divided. You know, sometimes people want to trip you up and they say, do you really believe that God divided the Red Sea? Well, I believe that in creation, God separated the waters and created dry land. And the same God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel passed through. God is a way maker. God is water in the dry land. He's rest to the weary. If you feel trapped between a rock and a hard place and can't see your way out, God is a way maker. Exodus 3 says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God be that we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we had fresh pots and we had to eat bread full? For ye have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven, for you and the people shall go and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. God is bread from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. Come down from heaven. In Exodus 17:1, and you know, the children of Israel, like we ourselves, can witness God do many things before us. And then when we get back in another situation that we can't handle, then we start murmuring and complaining. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness to Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched a tent at Rehemdim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Exodus 17:2 says, wherefore the water did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And so they weren't only complaining, but they were ready to do something about it too. And the Lord said, behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Hebron, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God is the rock. God is the rock that Moses struck. Moses got into a lot of trouble with God because the people made him angry and he smote the rock the second time without God telling him to. Jesus is the rock, and he was struck once. Moses also said to God, said to the people, me and Aaron brought you out of Egypt. You know, God said, I will share my glory with no man, including Moses and Aaron. That caused Moses not to be able to go over into the promised land. God led the people out of Egypt, including Moses and Aaron. Jesus told the woman at the well, you should have asked me, and I would have given you living water. God is a river in the desert place, torrents of living water. Jesus said, he who drinks of me shall never thirst, but shall have everlasting life. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is my name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host were cast into the sea. His chosen captains were all drowned in the Red Sea. You know, when Moses led them around by the Red Sea, there was actually a shorter way that they could have went. But Moses followed God's direction, and he led them around by the Red Sea. You know, Jesus is the captain of the guard. And if you looked at this as a military commander, you will see that this strategy that God used was a tremendous military strategy. Because first of all, he went the long way around. He went into a place where they were trapped, and no place to go between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And Pharaoh's army was a great number of chariots and men of war. So they were doomed, according to man. But God had told Moses to stretch out his hand, and he parted the Red Sea. Mary, don't weep. Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. Tell Martha not to mourn. Jesus himself is the captain of God's army. And if God is for you, who can stand against you? Let God fight your battles. The battle's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. The enemy will come against you, but you just watch and allow the Lord to fight your battles. We're not capable of carrying the angry and the resentments and the grudges. They cause high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes. Yolanda Adams sings a song. This battle's not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. God is The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy comfort, thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it talks about the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. There was, during the war that we were engaged in Iraq. We were looking for Osama bin Laden. Afghanistan. We were looking for Osama bin Laden, and one of the teachers was explaining Middle Eastern custom and traditions to me, and it talked about how Afghanistans would not turn Osama bin Laden over to the Americans. We were demanding that he be turned over, and they refused to do so because in their customs and their traditions, if they invite somebody into their tent, they are required to protect that person. And as you see that they did never turn Osama bin Laden over to us, even though they were supposed to be our allies. So what wound up happening was, it's just like it says here. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anointest my head with oil. And so God, being powerful and almighty, if we are in the presence of the Lord in his house, then the enemies can't get to us, and he would not turn us over to our enemy. God is my protection. God is my light in darkness. God is my all in all. John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Jesus came down from heaven to redeem man. Abraham couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Jacob couldn't do it. Samson, the strong man, couldn't do it. David, the man after God's own heart, couldn't do it. So Jesus came down through 42 generations. He preached the gospel for 3 years. John 1:5 says, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. He was charged with a crime, although no crime was committed. He was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was found to be without guilt. Pilate sought to release him, but the crowd cried out, crucified him. He carried his own cross to a hill called Golgotha, where he was to die outside of the camp. He died a death of a common thief. He was hung between two thieves. One mocked him and said, if you be who you say you are, save yourself. And while you're at it, save us too. And the other thief said, we deserve this, but this man has done no wrong. Jesus stopped dying long enough to say, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And then he gave up the ghost and died. They pierced him in his side, and the blood came streaming down. He was taken down and buried in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there 3 days, but on the third day, he rose again. There's an empty grave there to prove that my Savior, my Redeemer, lives. As God was to the children of Israel, God is my all in all. Amen.